you are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, my fellow Westorians. First, we had a teaser. Now we have a trailer. The line between teaser and trailer is a little blurry sometimes, and there's some overlap between these two different videos. But there's quite a lot of new stuff, and the hype is growing as the premiere approaches. When we covered the teaser, we speculated the show would be in September based on clues at the time. Yeah, we weren't too far off. It's going to be August 21st. You probably know that by now, but nice to have that stated going into the rest here. But as we cover it, we're going to keep our old tradition in place, something that we've been doing since the early days of our coverage of Game of Thrones' first go-around on HBO. So, Sean, while we're talking about dragons and Targaryens, you'll be raising a beverage to the Unsullied. Ha! What is that beverage? And what do I mean by Unsullied?
Let's see. What I have here is a mix of the protein berry drink, Mountain Dew, watermelon Mountain Dew, and raspberry sparkling ice. And it is very delicious.
It's a lot of red. So that is a fire and bloodish beverage.
Yeah, it's a little more purple than red, but...
Right on. Royal purple.
Yeah. Not black or green.
Targaryen eyes purple. I do have dragons on my microphone here. I got a black and a green. The black one's kind of hard to see, but he's there. There's his tail sticking out.
So that might be a good little segue. I have this vague understanding that there are blacks and greens. I don't really know what it means. I don't know who they are, what the deal is with them. I don't know if I should. Maybe that's broad enough that it's not too spoilery, but I've been trying to keep myself like at a distance from this. Like I just kind of accept I'm going to end up and have been exposed to a lot of it. Like I know at least the idea of what the Dance of Dragons was, like a civil war of sorts,
yeah,
in the Targaryens a couple hundred years ago.
Roughly.
And yeah. I know a few character names, but I don't know for sure, like, if I might even know like a name, but not know that they're a Targaryen.
You
know
what I mean? That's the perspective that we need, that we want.
Exactly.
It won't hold up past the first season. I think you will end up reading it and being well spoiled. But going forward for this first coverage, it's really nice for us, and I think for our listeners too, to have an Unsullied perspective, someone who only knows maybe the barest of broad strokes.
Yeah, and if y'all remember, some of y'all have been watching us since the early days, Sean didn't know about the Red Wedding. We met, that was kept under wraps, and we even got a live recording of your reaction to that at the time. So I think a lot of the major events won't be spoiled for you. Sure, some of them will be, but we covered trailers with you for Game of Thrones proper as well, and we let loose with what we knew for the most part, but we were most, a lot of that was guesswork, you know, past certain seasons, because even we didn't know what was going on then. So yeah, it's going to be fun to cover this show with the, we've done extensive coverage of the Dance of the Dragons from the book side. You have, like you said, very little knowledge. We'll meet in the middle on a lot of it. We'll learn from both perspectives, because we're going to end up being wrong about some things, because preconceived notions are going to be, you know, they're going to have changed a few things, you know, or if not more. But that's going to be part of the fun.
Yeah, so I hope people bear with my ignorance or naivete. And I understand if maybe you guys have to edit yourselves a little, or I could even take my headphones off if something crucial comes up that you want to say but don't want me to know.
I don't think there's anything too spoilery in this episode, but in the future, yeah, maybe we'll split it up a little bit. But
yeah, I mean, I feel like I can trust you guys. One, you kind of know the perspective you want from me, so know what maybe you shouldn't let me know. And I watched through the original series with you guys without having read the books and without you guys spoiling anything for me. So, yeah. And even things that maybe I did know, like I did not know like Ned Stark was going to die, you know, but like it didn't spoil things. Yeah. Does that make sense? It didn't ruin the show. And in fact, I think it makes it way more valuable just knowing the character names. Like when I'm pitching the Game of Thrones TV show to someone, I try to make sure they know, all right, there's going to be all these Stark characters and there's Baratheons and Lannisters. It's good to just have these names in your head to associate with images on screen just to keep up with it all. And I feel already like that's going to be the case here. So
yeah, you're totally right. You're totally right. And I don't think this is a particularly spoilery trailer. So we'll see, though. I mean, hopefully that's true. But, you know, again, that's part of the difference in perspective we have here. I might take for granted what is and what isn't an important plot point. So let's see here. Shout out to Fox and Brambles. The shirt I'm wearing, Rhaenyra's shirt, the half-year queen, is, you know, by them. Fox and Brambles, great job on this shirt. So I'm wearing it to fit in here. We're putting this one up straight to video. Again, like the last week's video of, which was coverage of Ice and Fire Con and David J. Peterson and corrections and criticisms and comments from prior Valar Aretas episodes. That's because we got a lot of screenshots in this one. Tons of visuals. So anytime we have tons of visuals, that'll be our way to handle it going forward. The technology is evolving and allowing us to do that. It's much easier to work with video these days.
Yeah, I'm excited to have all these screenshots. We'll be zooming in and stuff like that and have some lightened versions of some of them. So we'll hopefully get through a lot of images.
Yeah. Shout out to Marlee, sends a super chat, says, Fire and Blood, looking forward to the show and for all the fabulous content discussions that will come from it. Absolutely. That's the spirit that we're looking for, that I feel like a lot of y'all have. We're super excited. We are, as of this recording, about, 3 weeks and... I mean, sorry, 3 months and 2 weeks away, about. So that's pretty cool. We're not far. The episode, or rather, the trailer starts with a line, what is this brief mortal life, if not the pursuit of legacy? And then the trailer ends, history does not remember blood, it remembers names. These seem to be part of one statement, maybe not sentence following the other, maybe part of the same phrase. We know from subtitles that it's Corlys Velaryon speaking, though. So there you go. That's an important thing. It's not a guess. The subtitles say Corlys Velaryon. So unless that's wrong. And he's a man that would know about legacy. He's the sea snake, most famous explorer. Richer than the Lannisters at this point in history, descended from old Valyria. You know, they came with the Targaryens, this vassal house that flourished in that role. Good chance he's speaking to Daemon, but I'm totally guessing here. I don't know. Daemon's certainly an ambitious guy.
Yeah, I mean, he could be talking to his grandkids, too. Yeah. It really, your guess is as good as ours on this one.
Yeah. But it's great. It's evocative, you know, like, okay, well, yeah, ambitious people also make good stories. And but what does that phrase mean to you, Sean? Like, history does not remember blood or remember names. Because blood, like, does he mean, like, violence, like, killing, or does he mean family name? You know, things like that. Mm. I think that's where I lean, because it's like, history's not going to remember you just because you were a Targaryen or a Stark or something like that. What you do, like, if your particular name, you know, like Daemon Targaryen or Corlys, that will get remembered specifically. You know, that's maybe more important. I don't know, but that's, again, I'm working with the same basic information you are here.
That might be more true in this world, I guess, but I don't know about the real world. Like, no one knows who George Washington's son or dad was, for that matter, you know? And my read was that history doesn't, and we've even talked about this a bunch of times, we don't remember the loss, the suffering, and the sacrifice. We don't remember the people who died in the battles. Sometimes thousands of people, right? Millions even, whatever. Sure. You know, when you think about like Genghis Khan, you know. But we remember Genghis Khan, right? That's how I take this, is that they're going to go to war. People are going to die and be killed. But in the big picture, for your legacy, that won't matter. Your name will be remembered. Hmm. And but there's two quotes. The other one about what is this brief mortal life if not the pursuit of legacy. The instant thought in my head when that line was spoken, I was like, what about the pursuit of happiness? What about the pursuit of justice? What about the pursuit of peace? You know, there's a lot more to this brief mortal life than the pursuit of legacy. And so maybe an ambitious, morally, you know, ambiguous person, you know, someone who is more concerned about their legacy, they might sacrifice justice or peace or whatever else for the sake of it.
Absolutely.
I don't know if this guy's supposed to be a protagonist or not. And I can imagine even if he's cast as such, I might be suspicious.
Yeah.
Someone who makes that statement, red flags go off for me.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just a tagonist, neither pro nor
antagonist.
he's a cool tagonist, because is an interesting character.
There was a little bit of a... I mean, I wasn't surprised to see Corlys Velaryon, but I was surprised to see Bormund Baratheon here. And I noticed in the background of this shot that I have on screen right now, and I lightened it up a little, you can see... It looks like we have Lyman Beesbury, played by Bill Patterson, back there. Otto Hightower, perhaps, next to him. And to me, to my eyes, and Aziz and I debated this, I think it really looks like Alicent Hightower, but we really thought she would be too young to be at this moment. But I don't know. Chime in the chat and let me know if you think this looks like Otto and Alicent and Lyman here while Bormund is on screen.
The hairstyle looks a lot like Alice in particular. That's one thing. And in addition to other features, that one really does it for me, I think. So this is what you can expect from us, not just for the trailers, but this is how we'll cover a lot of things with the new technology.
Here is a comparison.
And point at things like that. It's really cool.
This is Alicent. Young Alicent is who I'm referring to, played by Emily Carey. And I'm also referring to Bill Patterson here is Lyman Beesbury. So if we compare, this is what he looks like, and this is what this figure looks like. And I think it looks just like him. Anyways.
Yeah.
But we're seeing Baratheons, though, and we're hearing about Starks.
Yeah, so Baratheon, the line is, you know, we hear the three names, Corlys Velaryon, Bormund Baratheon, and Rickard Stark, giving oaths to Rhaenyra and Viserys there. Now, what's interesting about that is there should be other people giving oaths. It wouldn't just be those three. He's making everyone give oaths as her, kind of confirming her as his heir, right? But what's interesting about choosing those three is that Rickard Stark, for one thing, in the books, it's Rickon Stark instead of Rickard, but whatever. That's a really small change. That doesn't really matter. His son, Cregan, is going to have a little trouble getting his inheritance when the time comes from his uncle, is going to hold on to it for a while. And Bormund Baratheon, his brother, is going to be the heir until Bormund late in life has a son named Boros, who's going to be part of this. And this brother, Boris, all these B names, becomes jealous. So it's another uncle that's jealous of the claim that ends up going to the younger child. So you have all three of these examples have that come up, because Corlys Velaryon, you know, there's going to be stuff with his incredibly wealthy family and the inheritance is there. And that's a little, I won't be as specific with that because that would be spoilery. But let's just say it's within the greater realm of Targaryen civil war that we know is being built up to happen at some point in the show. There's also family conflicts on a lot smaller scale within a lot of the great houses. So it's a time of where there had been peace for a long time, a lot of buildup, and then of good times, which then the pendulum kind of swings the other way, where people start to fight over all the plenty. And they get a little, over-content, or if not greedy or ambitious, and in a variety of different ways.
Mm. On the screen right now, I have a shot of this the swearing scene that shows Viserys on the throne with this more book accurate Iron Throne, where they added all of the swords around. I thought that was a really good way that they kind of split the difference. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We can't just completely get rid of the old Iron Throne, but we can make it a little more accurate. Yeah. And also, you'll note, we can see here Rhaenyra down below, and with the long hair, Corlys Velaryon. I have the mouse over. And I kind of a female figure there, and I wonder if we're going to see Jane Arryn. She's not said by name there, but it would make sense for us to see the Maiden of the Vale, and so I think that might be that figure right there.
Yeah, because to be clear, as we said, there should be more than just those families bending the knee, yeah. And it would make sense for the ruler of the Vale to be among the people bending the knee.
Yeah.
And she would, as you might guess, be even more ready to be like, yeah, I'm absolutely going to bend the knee to a woman, because that can, you know, helps confirm her rule hold over the Vale, which was probably playing men not happy that she's in charge there too. So it's kind of a two-way street for any other woman ruler. And that's important to keep in mind. Just as a quick aside, Boromir Baratheon's father was Rhaegar Baratheon. Some of y'all may remember him. He's a really long, extended, difficult, in a fun way, part of Fire and Blood, the era before this. And we did an episode on him, well, not on him, that included him, called The New Old Tower Joy with Stephen Atwell and Lady Gwyn. Check that out if you're looking for more content and getting excited about all this. So, yeah, so we'll see. Like, and remember, folks, from the first trailer, we saw Stark, Bolton, Lannister, Tarly, like these banners in different places and these characters in other places. So combining what we know between the two trailers, yeah, there's looks like there's going to be solid presences from a lot of the other families.
Yeah, we did see some other sigils in the previous trailer, which I did grab as well. So I'll put that on screen just for you to see what we're referring to exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of different houses. It's going to be really cool to see how they portray them in these different eras, the different people, yeah. and small tweaks they make to reflect that it's up to 200 years ago, I suppose. We're not sure what year it's going to start, but...
But yeah, as you can see, we see the Bolton sigil, Stark, Tarly, Lannister, maybe Lefford.
One thing I observed... Is there seems to be like a younger and older version of one of the characters?
Yeah, more than one, but
a couple,
yes,
a few
yes.
characters, and we see, okay. we don't even see the all of the younger and older versions of all of these characters. But
so do you, that one that gives us a little bit of a range of how far back it will start.
Yes,
and two, do you guys think that we're going to start at one point and in like time jump 10 years or 20 years forward, or do you think they're going to like flashbacks of sort and go back and forth?
That's a great question. And I'd love to hear what people in the chat think about this. Personally, I lean towards them starting at point A and going chronologically forward. At some point, our characters age up. But I don't think it is impossible that they won't do it in flashback form. I think that's very possible. And I also think it's possible that they mostly do it chronologically, but also have a flashback here and there. Like, it doesn't have to
or
be
a
one.
Flash forward, even.
I guess it depends on maybe how you look at it.
That seems unlikely, but you never know. I mean, I certainly can't rule that out.
So in the chat, please let us know, do you think that they'll be doing concurrent timelines most, or will they mostly start from point A and go forward?
My guess is that it'll be fairly linear, but I am completely open to flashbacks. One thing I think about, by the way, in both trailers, they show Rhaenyra, like the older version of Rhaenyra, obviously not old Rhaenyra, just older Rhaenyra, kind of looking out over the sea or looking out. And that's a perfect spot to have a flashback. You're looking out, she's kind of reflecting, and then boom, you cut away. Okay. The horizon, all of a sudden the horizon is 20 years ago. It's a real smooth, they do that a lot, a smooth transition. But again, this is just a random idea.
I feel like it's a little more common in modern TV to have flashbacks. Mm. And also, I didn't even think of the way you said it. I don't remember if that was you, Aziz or Shea that said it, but concurrent timelines. Yeah. They might consistently be jumping back and forth between two different timelines versus just a few flashbacks in the first episode. I could see a lot of ways it could pan out. Yeah. And I wonder too, if that one might be like, not only does that give ways to create more irony, you know, when you know where things are going, or moments of epiphany when you realize what had happened before and how it compares to now or things like that. But it maybe also will help them disguise like from like, you know, leaks or things. It might be harder for people to pin down what's going on if they're jumping around more and how it's being cast and stuff like
That's true.
I don't know how much you're thinking about that, but I know it was an issue for the last show.
I was wondering, I mean, you the fact that you figured out that there were older versions of characters, at least one character, it's multiples really, but yeah, you figured out at least one. That's notable because we are already going to be keyed into that. A lot of other people may not know. And so, like you said, it'll work for them. That confusion will work to set the stage and be like, who are all these characters? But I think that's the general way this trailer worked. It was, Damon was interspersed all throughout it, just constantly in and out.
And they don't have younger Damons, but he has different hair lengths.
Right. He does have different hairstyles, which implies, and lengths, which implies different times. So that'll be one way they can show the time has changed, like make it more clear. But
maybe he has battle hair.
Yeah, helmet head. He's
got court hair, battle hair, romance hair.
So, but you get the trailer starts with younger Rhaenyra and transitions to older Rhaenyra, and then it shows younger Alicent and transitions to older Alicent, almost as if that's like a 4-part montage or brief moments in time to show that those are two important characters. Those are the two queens, so to speak. The short story Princess and the Queen was something George published that eventually became part of The World of Ice and Fire. That is, you know, not a spoilery clue, just a clue. Like, pretty straightforward, that's who they are. So it you know, it gives you an example. But also, you know, we see them at some point being friendly with each other. You know, there's that brief moment where they appear to be happier times.
Which, I mean, if we go back to that shot where I think I see Alicent there when everyone's swearing to Rhaenyra, the idea that Otto brought her to court and she was friends with Rhaenyra, they were, you know, like that was a lady in waiting to her, etc. And then she, you know, got with her father.
Yeah, I think power driving them apart is going to be more interesting if you have a friendship, a solid relationship first. And I think that's what it looks like they're going to do. And we were hoping they would do is they would really put a lot of groundwork in establishing these relationships, these families, family connections before they start tearing it all down so that it matters. You know, we have to care about these people or at least be invested in them. We don't have to like them, but like some of them anyway.
One thing I took note of in the trailer, which I'm actually kind of happy about. I can imagine a slice of people maybe being disappointed, but there's hardly an image of a dragon.
Yeah.
There's hardly an image of a dragon at all. So I don't know if that's something they want to build up to. And
it's a lot of dragon eggs.
Burn it all out in the first few episodes or even the first season.
I really wanted to call this trailer the egg trailer because there is, I specifically put in our notes, there's more dragon egg, as Shay just said, there's more dragon egg than there is dragon in this trailer because there's Damon's holding an egg and he's holding his sword out at one point. There's the egg in the brazier. There's the box that probably has an egg in it. And then there's later a box that's open. And and then there's there's the two spots of a dragon there, but doesn't tell us very much. So it was cool. It was a little more teaser because there was basically no dragon in the first one other than a little bit of fire.
The VFX people are like, we need every last second to get these dragons right. You won't be seeing them
just giving us
little
niblets.
We do see that one shot of Damon with the dragon egg and Mizaria. That's a pretty important shot. And they are in front of Dragonstone. And I'd like to show everyone to confirm that that is Dragonstone. If you look, I compared the two images. There you go. Dragonstone in Game of Thrones, Damon and Mizaria. It's the same place. Just
as you can I bring up a couple points / questions?
Absolutely.
You mentioned a Baratheon character, and I also was talking about the idea of whether or not Corlys might be a protagonist or not. I remember watching Game of Thrones for the first time. I started off thinking of Robert as a protagonist.
Okay, yeah. He's framed that way. Yeah, he's Ned's friend.
Ned seems like a good guy, and they're friends with each other. But, you know, especially watching every episode multiple times, having discussions with you guys, I slowly started to sink into me I don't think he's a good guy. I don't think he's a good guy after all. I can imagine some of that happening with some of these characters. I just wanted to point that out. Maybe that's some of the value of my non-biased approach to it. But also, there is a Baratheon character in this. I'm not good enough to remember the name, though. You mentioned maybe even a couple. Who was it again?
There's Boromund, and then this is a while ago. See, this is something I guess I didn't fully explain, is one of the conflicts that's going to arise, and this is not terribly spoilery, is that they swear these oaths to young Rhaenyra, as you can see portrayed in some of those early scenes in the trailer. But Viserys doesn't just die the next year. It's a while. So by the time he does pass on, which I think that's pretty clear that the king has to die for this to turn into a civil war, you have... well, where does this conflict come from in the first place? Where does this... a lot of the people who swore oaths to Rhaenyra and Viserys aren't alive anymore. Enough time has passed that they just, it's their son in charge or their grandson in charge by then. So they don't feel as bound. They get to maybe take whatever side they want to based on their character, their ambition, a number of factors, all of which,
opportunity.
Yeah. All of which can prove there's very fertile storytelling ground for Westeros. Yeah.
So is it the Lord of the Stormlands? Is that the Baratheon?
Storm's End, yeah. Stormlands, okay. Storm's End, yeah. Same, both of those things. Yeah, absolutely. That's their power. And remember, they are not as close to the Targaryens as the Velaryons, Corlys's family. Now, the Velaryons are barely a part of Game of Thrones TV show. They were in it. They were Stannis's vassals. They just didn't, they're not as big a deal by
that. But they've diminished as a house.
Yeah, I mean the Targaryens are gone. You can tell
they were never Lord Paramount of any land, were they?
No, because they were subservient. They were in the Targaryens' land, like they were island over. There's the two major islands there: Dragonstone and Driftmark. So they were lords of Driftmark.
Okay.
So that's so they were always subservient to Targaryen, and then eventually Stannis became Lord of Dragonstone, if you recall. So they were still vassals to him. So, but Stannis is a Baratheon, and part of the reason Robert got the crown after Robert's Rebellion, and the reason they called it that, and one, because of his great charisma, and he killed Rhaegar, so that's pretty epic. But he's had the best claim to the throne. His grandmother was Targaryen, and they're the founders of House Baratheon was supposedly a bastard brother of Aegon the Conqueror, who married the daughter of House Durrandon, which was the existing kings of the Stormlands for thousands of years. So he just combined his Targaryen bastard bloodline with the existing Storm Kings to form House Baratheon. So that's where they all come from. And they've been mostly very large people ever since.
but that was before this time period. That is history even in this time period,
yeah, because Aegon the Conqueror founded the Targaryen dynasty. So he was, this guy was his founder. He was part of the conquest. He conquered the Stormlands. He was like a general. And that was his reward, basically, was getting to keep Storm's End, and his descendants would rule and all that. But he married the existing daughter, so it would continue the bloodline, so he would have, the old blood claim stuff. So yeah, not that long ago, though, from maybe 100 years ago, based on that, from when that scene roughly would have happened.
But you were talking about the Velaryons, so I put them on screen. We can see some of them. We have Vaemond Velaryon right on the far left, Corlys Velaryon, Laenor Velaryon, Rhaenys Targaryen, who married into the Velaryons, and Laena Velaryon on screen. And I just wanted to highlight this in particular, because if you look... this is what it looked like in the teaser trailer. Look at how different the color grading is. This is the teaser trailer, much lighter, versus, again, going back. This was in the most recent trailer, so I'm super curious what it'll look like in the final product. But shows that it's well worth comparing shots between the two.
Yeah, pretty different, huh?
Yeah, it's interesting to me, personally.
Yeah. So, let's see. What is the next... line? Another big part of the trailer, of course, is the idea that a lot of people don't want a woman on the Iron Throne. That was one of the few quotes that's out loud there. But what do we have up next, picture-wise? Should we go to that, or something else you have ready?
I guess I would like to start from the beginning and catch up to where we are.
Please. Okay, great. Let's do that.
Okay, going through the trailer in the beginning, we started off, we talked about this a little bit. We have a lot of Rhaenyra looking out at the ocean. A couple shots. This is older Rhaenyra, played by Emma Darcy, who is non-binary and uses they/them pronouns. I just would like to get the word out there on that, y'all, that if we're talking about the actress, use they/them. Then we have a shot of what we're sure is Dragonstone itself, of Stormy Island. There's been some debate, but we think that is Dragonstone. Then we have this shot of Daemon and Mizaria and the dragon egg, which I think we'll talk about with Sean without headphones on. when we get to that, if that's okay with you, Aziz.
Sure.
Because I think this is a little spoilery, yeah. But I would like to take a moment to point out the other side of this scene, which is Damon and Lady Misery meeting with Otto Hightower on screen.
Notice how they are armored.
Yeah, they are armored, meeting with Otto.
This isn't necessarily cordial.
And on the far right, the Kingsguard is Kristen Cole, yeah. As we can see when we look closely. And behind them is Grandmaster Mellos, as he's spotted. And when we compared it to the actor, David Horovitch, when we compared the two, it looked just like him. So that is Grandmaster Mellos. And on the far left, this is where I want to ask y'all what you think. Do you think this looks like Graham McTavish as Harold Westerling or not? Aziz and I disagree. I think it does. He thinks it doesn't. So...
we do see him elsewhere, so he's definitely in this trailer, yeah. And he's in the last one, but
you we're know. Not sure. But anyway, so we have that crew together there. The green.
He's certainly
side
a Kingsguard, though.
Yeah, certainly a Kingsguard. But now, want to talk about this? The dragon shot, Aziz?
Yeah.
At the Red Keep.
Yeah, this is super cool.
Can I?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What's can up? I ask a question? Of course. There's a guy. Looks like a bald guy with a robe. Is that a maester?
Yeah,
that's
Mellos,
the maester,
yeah.
Grand Maester Mellow. So.
Okay.
That
okay.
He's mellow. From. He's chill. He's the chill maester.
People in the chat do he? Think it looks like Graham. Some people agree with me, but anyways, hard to tell.
That's actually a good, interesting question. Real as an aside, Sean, you say oh. Is he? Because is he chill? Like am I? I am just joking, but I don't know because this is some of these characters, and you know we know them because they were in Fire and Blood, where they aren't. It's the events that are more defined than the characters. And that's one of the things that's really going to be really interesting for us all to experience together is how they bring these characters to life. Fire and Blood is a history book that's written with a lot of action and intrigue and all that, but it isn't as personal, intimate with those moments. Like, so we're going to see that's what's going to be so different for us, yeah. Even those who know the events really well. So we don't know what kind of person Mellos is, and even if
if we don't know if he's mellow or not,
even if we did, they may have changed him.
But this next shot is a dragon at the Red Keep. Personally, we thought it was maybe Rhaenyra on Syrax based on coloring, based on the person having kind of maybe long hair, but as you can see when we zoom in. But I think there is a chance that this is Daemon on Caraxes. The wings have a little bit of red, but it really doesn't look like a red dragon to me. So I lean towards Rhaenyra on Syrax riding around the Red Keep, like showing her being a dragon rider. But
what color does that look like to you, Sean?
Yeah, you saw that shot of the dragon riding at the Red Keep. Did it look?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it looks red. I bronzish, olive, maybe, you know, like hints of yellow and green, okay, yeah. I would say. I think almost any dragon with this wingspan spread
yeah.
is going to have a tint of red because
yeah.
just the blood flowing
right.
to the thin parts
point.
Of skin.
The membranes, yeah.
Yeah.
That so did seem to be consistent with all the dragons in the first show, yeah.
Yeah. My call right now is I'm going to say I think it's Rhaenyra on Syrax, kind of yeah. just because I want to see Rhaenyra, like, riding her dragon and loving it. Yeah. Like, I just like that idea.
So Syrax is yellow, so that would make sense.
Yeah.
But assuming they keep that consistent, that's the kind of thing that would be, I don't know. Yeah. They may change the dragon color here and there, but I kind of doubt they'll do much changing of that.
Since we're talking about the dragon now, I'll go ahead and jump forward to the other shot we get of a dragon in this trailer, which is of Damon interacting with the dragon. Damon comes up with the torch. So you're like, well, why is Damon interacting with a dragon, right?
Damon is Matt Smith,
that's Matt
right?
Matt Smith, yeah. Yes. Doctor Who.
Okay. Matt Damon.
Matt Damon,
it's going to be really hard not to call him Matt. Now, remember from the first trailer, his line was, gods, kings, fire, blood. Dreams didn't make us kings. Dragons did. So we think there's a decent chance this is linked. These events are linked. That quote linked with this. Because he also seems to be walking around with a torch. Well, he is walking around with a torch in the first trailer. And here
yeah.
he is laying
and
a torch on the ground,
yeah.
looking up at the dragon. It's even harder to tell what color this dragon is.
Yeah, it is. There it is, like, in the wing, there does look like a yellow, I mean, a red glow to me, but it's the dragon's lighting fire right then. You really can't yeah. tell. More relevant, I think, is the size, which I think rules Vhagar out. Like, it just
yeah.
doesn't look that big.
Inside. I don't
and
think
inside,
Vhagar was ever kept inside either. Nothing,
So, like, maybe this is him with Caraxes, with his own dragon. Maybe this is a scene with him and Rhaenyra's dragon. This is Syrax again, because I think it would make sense for Damon to interact with Rhaenyra's dragon. Or maybe, and this is an idea I read on Watchers on the Wall, the idea is that maybe this is before he steals a dragon egg, and maybe that's why he has a dragon egg, is that he's taken it from this dragon.
Right, like remember in the trailer, he's carrying a dragon egg, he's confronted by Otto and Kingsguard, and they're like, and he pulls his sword out, and he's still holding the egg. So that is a good, it seems to imply that the egg is the point of contention there. So it's entirely possible that putting these things together, that he took an egg that he wasn't supposed to take.
So it could be a number of dragons here. We're not sure. We might have seen only one dragon in this trailer. We might have seen two different dragons.
Now, here's another thing I just thought about the colors. We just pointed out how they're joked about how they're going to be rendering and CGIing these dragons up till the last minute. I don't know at what phase the color goes in.
Yeah.
That dragon could turn out to be bright red by the time we see it on TV. We'd be like, oh, that's definitely red. But it's just right now, it's like, nah, right now we've only added 10% of the color or whatever. So I don't know how that process works. So maybe color's really early in it, maybe it's later. So let's keep that in mind.
Yeah. You know,
the colors could be completely thrown off here.
I would say that it is not definitively yellow. Like, no. If they wanted us to think it was yellow or green, like, it might be a range of darker colors. Yeah. Like, it maybe could be maroon or, you know, brown. But if I just had to name a color for it, I'd say black. I don't know if that means anything. But.
Yeah.
Oh, you know. Valid. So continuing on past that, we talked a bit about this scene in front of the throne where it seems that people are swearing to follow Rhaenyra. We see Corlys, we see Boromund. It seems that we do see Lyman and Otto and maybe Alicent behind. Another shot here that I grabbed that I'm zooming in where I believe this is Lyman. And he has hair in this shot, I think, again, because he's younger there. I think that he'll have less hair later on in the show. I know these are the hard-hitting theories. About.
So some non-spoilery detail about Lyman would be he's been the master of coin for a long time. If that is him, and if they hadn't changed that, then he's somewhere else, just not portrayed. But he's been Master Coin since well into Viserys' reign. Jaehaerys' reign.
He's a good egg.
Say that name again, Lyman.
Lyman Beesbury.
Like you know, Beesbury. Like the old Sprite campaign, the taste of Lyman, lemon lime.
So we have now. I want to talk about the necklaces, right, Aziz?
Yeah.
I think this was a great catch by at Conqueror's Crown on Twitter. We noticed as well, but I want to give a highlight to him because he really got a lot of eyes on it. As you can see here, this is Rhaenyra with her necklace. And when you look closely, you can see there are sigils on the necklace, the Targaryen sigil. This would be our Lannister lion. And if I go to the next shot, you can see that barely this is the Tully sigil right there. The Lannister lion again. And I'm going to go to one more shot. Behind. There is House Martell represented, even though they are not part of the kingdoms yet. And here's the last bit of the necklace. Here is the Aaron right there, the Aaron sigil, highest honor. And obviously we can guess that Stark and Greyjoy are also, and Baratheon are represented elsewhere.
So that's a fun piece of world building to keep in mind, Sean. Yeah, Dorne is still independent at this point.
I do know that. I am on it enough to be aware of that.
Yeah, so it's the year 187. The 187 that Dorne becomes married in. So we're around the year in the range of 100 to 130 throughout these events, roughly speaking.
Yeah,
I wonder if on some level, whether in a show or in the history that you guys know so well, were they considering Dorne to be part, whether Dorne liked it or not, they just... You're part of our kingdom.
Yeah, they kind of did. That's why the necklace has. Yeah, I think that's the implication here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's even a Faith of the Seven, isn't there? Did you?
Yes, I do have that. I'll zoom into that for y'all. Aziz also noticed a little. The Faith of the Seven is indeed represented down here as part of this like elaborate necklace that she wears.
That necklace is incredible. I mean, this is something I would really like to pay more attention to. And I think there's gonna be more of it because we're dealing with a really established royal family at its peak. So their displays will be at their most ostentatious and symbolic, which means that jewelry like this is really going to be part of the storytelling. So it's important to pay attention to what they're communicating with the costuming, I think, a lot of times. And this is like a huge power symbol. Like this is the era.
We also know they were doing that in Game of Thrones also.
Yeah.
We also know they were putting a lot of effort and detail into that background costume set, etc.
I personally wasn't paying as much attention to that as I should have, so I'm trying to focus on that more this time around.
So yeah, the necklace will be very fun for cosplayers to replicate and all that. I think we might have to find ourselves one of our own.
Yeah, a real cool. Gold one. Yeah, that's right. I wonder how much that would cost if it was really gold. Unbelievable.
But the next up in the trailer, we've got just some shots of Damon and his gold cloaks. And something you might not know, Sean, is that Damon had a job. He, unlike Littlefinger, he did have a job. He still got up to a lot of problems, but he had a job.
Yeah. So the City Watch existed already, but he upgraded them and gave them an identity.
And it looks like a bad identity based on like,
and you
what
can see
doing.
From the trailer, they're just like, you just see them just like beating people. Like, it's like what is going on here?
They're just straight up beating people.
It doesn't look like they're doing honest work in there, does it?
So he's like the head of the KGB?
He's like the head of the cops.
He just took over this. Yeah, he kind of takes like, over the City
cops,
Watch. And
all cops are bastards, and he's a cop.
That's why Shea mentioned Littlefinger. Remember, that was a big part of season one, right? Ned thinks Littlefinger has the City Watch for him. But at the pivotal moment, the City Watch goes for Littlefinger's plan that they were going to go all the time, which was aided by the awful Janos Slint. So the City Watch is, they follow their commander's orders. You know, you got to keep an eye on who's in charge. That's like up to 1,000 or 2,000 armed men inside the city. So that's a force to be reckoned with, right? So, yeah. So Damon being the guy that gave them this identity and led them. You can see portraying him. He's leading from the front there into they open a gate and charge into something, right?
Yeah. Charge into
something. I'm not guessing at what that is. See they're just portraying that, you know? So that's important, right? You have a guy who's clearly from the trailers is a conniver, the way he looks at people and talks. He's ambitious, right? you don't get the sense that he's a good guy, right, Sean?
I haven't really gotten a sense, although I didn't even take note. I hadn't pieced together that he was in charge of the people that were beating people. You know, it may become clear pretty quick.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Even if he does at least initially come off like a bad guy, so did Jamie.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Maybe he still was a bad guy. I don't know. But
bad guys can do good things. And yeah, like he's probably going to be grayish, if you know, probably. We'll see. But you're right. You're right to look at it both ways.
But yeah, moving on from the gold cloaks, which we'll get more of later. We next have a fan favorite already, Rhaenys Targaryen, speaking to Rhaenyra here, played by Eve Best. So really, truly the best character, Rhaenys. And I don't know. Chat, weigh in. Are you yay or nay on her hairstyle here? I hate it. I'm just going to go ahead and influence the chat and say I really don't like it. But it's okay because I think there's a lot of cooler things about her than her hair.
Yeah. You'll have to like all the styles too.
I'm like, yeah, she doesn't have to be a fashion icon to me personally. But like, ugh. Anyways, whatever. It's like kind of like the, you know, Alien versus Predator kind of headgear is what I see personally. Don't know about y'all, but that's her.
Spoiler alert. She's an alien.
She's an alien. Sorry. She's more dragon than human.
But that's her speaking with young Rhaenyra, played by Millie Alcock there.
So the pretty clear plot point there. You see a bunch of people swearing to serve Rhaenyra because of Viserys, and then you have this other Targaryen whose name is Rhaenys saying men would sooner put the realm to the torch than see a woman ascend the Iron Throne. So it very much reveals a point of contention, which is easy to understand, right? You're like, okay, yeah, men not wanting a woman to be queen, you get that, like that's standard-ish. So you can see why people would fight over that or argue over that or have conflict over that. And that, especially given how much young Rhaenyra looks like Dany. It's amazing. That's great.
Yeah, I know she looks a lot like Dany. I think particularly young Rhaenyra does.
So you take that moment as a warning, and that character has a nickname, the Queen That Never Was. I don't think this is spoilery to point this out, to point out their ancestry. Okay, so here's the deal. The old king and good Queen Alysanne, who ruled for a very long time.
The old king,
Jaehaerys.
Viserys?
Jaehaerys. The father of Viserys. They had a lot of kids, but the ones that we only need to focus on right now are the first two sons. Because he had a son, they had a son, Aemon, and a son, Balon. Okay, Aemon and Balon, right? Aemon had Rhaenys, this Rhaenys that we're talking about right now. And then he died. Okay? So, should she have inherited? Or Balon was going to inherit, because he's the next brother, he's the next son, but he died. Right? So, the throne passed to his first son instead of his older brother's daughter. Right? Okay. And that older brother Viserys. And Viserys' younger brother is this Daemon.
Which, I'm going to say, normally, that is what would happen. But not necessarily with the Targaryens.
Not necessarily. It hadn't necessarily come up at all at that point. So this was like, this is when the precedent...
But it's coming up now, and so...
Oh, Aziz, did you say that he was the father of Viserys?
Jaehaerys? I'm sorry, grandfather.
Yeah, okay, cool. People caught you. I was like, I didn't catch that you said that.
Yeah, Balon was his father. Yeah, yeah.
When you brought up Balon.
So many connections, I missed one. Yeah, or I said it wrong anyway.
But yeah, Balon was... It was... awesome. So it's too bad.
Yeah, he was called Balon the Brave. So he was really, it's too bad. Kind of a Baelor-ish like figure.
Yeah,
where
like
people were kind of looking forward to him ruling. And Aemon,
his
older brother, looked really good too. So they both of them looked like they would have been really solid, if not great. But so it was pretty tragic that neither of them got the chance. And then this. And so think about this though, Sean. Think about where this conflict had come from. They just said that no, Rhaenys doesn't get to be queen because they decided the man gets it. So why then does Rhaenyra get it? If it goes to the man.
I don't know Rhaenyra's relation.
Rhaenyra is this daughter of Viserys, who is the one that got it. But Daemon is Viserys' brother. So if they just passed over the daughter for the brother, why aren't they doing that here? Well, it's because Viserys made everyone swear. That's the implication of him saying, you're going to follow the daughter.
Okay.
So he's setting it up in advance. But... the question is, will people listen to him? And that's why I pointed out that a lot of time is
so
probably
what
in the past.
They call Rhaenys as the queen who never was. That is what she's referred to in the series. The queen who should have been.
And she married Rhaenys. She married Corlys. Right? So she's. Yeah. She's the connected to that way. And her mother was a Baratheon. So she comes from a Targaryen father and a Baratheon mother.
Yeah, there's a bit of there'll be a bit of a Hairgate debate that you'll be exposed to in the fandom, Sean, in that this character Rhaenys in the books, she does have black hair, as you might think. Baratheon, black of hair. It is kind of relevant, but she's old enough that we can tell ourselves that she has gone silver with time. And that is what I'm going to tell myself and what you all can tell yourself too.
However, the meta also on that is originally George wrote her hair as silver and then changed it to black for that reason. And then now the show has gone back to either gray from age or from just they decided to go back to silver. So, yeah, we don't know what the reasoning
is. I imagine for the show, it's more important for the masses of audiences to relate the Targaryen hair than the Baratheon.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, which is part of why they made the Valyrian skin color black. That's going to be a plot point, which can be more identifiable when people, you know, marry each other and or have affairs on the side. The skin color is relevant, right? That's going to be more outstanding as a detail, as a visual feature. You know, it isn't necessarily about what isn't about race. It's about the visual, right? So that's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. In fact, that's something I was going to point out about the trailer in general. You can see that they understand they need to set this up.
Yes. Yeah. So they make very distinct looking people. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
The next shot here I have also has Rhaenys in it. It's Rhaenyra at the painted table. And zoom in here, I wish I could enhance, but
zoom
you can
enhance.
See.
You remember the painted table,
This is Rhaenys in armor. She is in her armor, and I can't wait to see a high-res version of that. But that isn't the point of the shot. The greater point of the shot is obviously Rhaenyra in front of, this is the painted table that was in Game of Thrones on Dragonstone with Stannis and Melisandre. You know, they had sex
and
on.
Yeah, they did have sex on.
But you can also see Dark Sister right here as he spied, and an open box next to Dark Sister at the table. Oh. So clearly Daemon was here, is here in the room as well. He's not in the shot, but
but everyone's walking away. Isn't that interesting?
I don't think he might. I think maybe he's just out of the shot and he's there too. Is kind of what that tells me, is that Daemon's there. He's not walking away. He's leaving Rhaenyra and Daemon together.
Yeah, like something happened. They're leaving for the night, but she's really focused. This really shows how intent she is, I think. That she's still focused on the table while everyone else seems to be walking away. And
she might have just said, leave us.
Yeah, you're totally right. That's totally.
That is the impression trope, I got, yes, is that it's a leave us moment right there. Like, can we... Like trying to look in at all these little markers on there.
I have a spoilery guess as to what just happened there. So we won't say that. We'll wait till the end.
Spoiler. We'll do a little end where we talk about. We'll say, see you, Sean, and you'll just leave or something.
Yeah. We'll save it all for the end. Yeah.
All right.
As
we've done before.
But the next shot is this. What seems like this council at Harrenhal. Want to talk about that, Aziz?
Yeah. So there was a Harrenhal council at 101. What's interesting though is that. This is how they resolved what I just told you about with all who was going to be king or queen next. When Baelon died, that's what happened. They called this great council to decide who would be next. And the reason it was a great council was because Alysanne had already died. The queen had already died. And so the king, old King Jaehaerys had ruled for so long and had already lost his firstborn. And now his secondborn has died. And he and his wife were estranged before she died. So he was just done. He was just like, you guys decide who's next. I don't want to make the call. So they hashed it out. And this might be that hashing out that we're seeing.
So you think this maybe will be another flashback?
Or they start off right here and then go forward, which is again where I'm saying I lean towards chronological. But I recognize they could be doing a lot of flashbacks as well. I lean one way or another, you know, towards.
There's a really good chance this is the first scene or one of the very first scenes of the entire show. It could be the first scene. I have a feeling they're just more action oriented to start.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting thought at what the first scene would be.
Looks like an exciting.
Yeah. Because especially if they do it like in a prologue-y kind of way, like we get a scene and then the intro plays and then we start off, you know.
They could start somber and like big and evocative. Yeah. I don't know. Harrenhal is just so creepy. That would be enough.
Who would have been at this meeting?
Like all the great lords.
It's all the great lords.
When you say all, is it like seven?
Oh, no, more. Like hundreds, like 100, 200, like all the great houses plus a lot of the lesser lords. All the big names from each region. Like big name, I know big name is vague, but like the people, it's meant to be vague. It's the people who have power. It's like
so the Starks and the Boltons.
And the Lannister. Yeah.
You're rich and powerful enough to be there,
like you're tier one and you're tier two.
Be accepted, they'll
kind of
your vote will count.
Yeah, whereas it could just be like a tier one event, but no, this is a tier one and two and some threes. Like the more like the people who live in the Crown Lands are more likely to go. You know, you would imagine that. There were more Crownlanders and Riverlanders and all that than Northerners that attended.
Do you recall that the show basically ended with a great council that they picked?
Yes.
They picked Bran. And do you also recall that?
But there was only like eight-ish people there.
Yeah, that, yeah. They really dialed it down for some reason.
See here is this chest that they're carrying.
Yeah, yeah. What's that? Probably contains an egg. And remember at the painted table there was an empty thing, but that doesn't seem to be related. The box seemed to be unrelated boxes.
I saw some people theorizing about the idea of it being like a ballot box.
Oh, okay,
But I liked that idea a lot. Other people said that they looked like those were the dragon keepers that were carrying the box. So, and I'm not too sure on that, but it makes more sense to me for them to be carrying up like ballots than it would for them to be like, here's our egg, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Part of why I was asking who all might be at this council, because I thought that might be a good intro to have dragon riders flying in to this council.
Oh,
that would be a way to like
really?
Start
there would
off
be
with
dragon
dragons.
Riders appearing. Yes,
that would happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. There would be dragon riders flying in to Harrenhal for this thing.
Yeah, very cool. What's next?
Next up, we have this shot of a feast. As we can see here, when I zoom in, we do see it. This is young Alicent, Emily Carey. But up top, this is the wedding feast. As you can see, when I look closely, we do see that this is young Millie Alcock in that white dress, Laenor next to her at the dais. We got Daemon and Lionel Strong. We'll get into that a little later. But so this seems like this is Alicent or somebody. It looks like Alicent to me, but it is the back of her head. But we see her then after that in this next shot that I'll go to from the front. And so I think that shows that she attended the wedding. And that is like a not obvious, I don't think at all. But again, when I go back and you zoom in to the dais that she's looking at, again, I'm just going to go back to it. That is very clearly the wedding feast that she's at. So that is interesting to me. I don't think we talked much about that, Aziz, ahead of time, but...
You're right, though. I agree with what you said.
And so, yeah, so then we see young Emily Carey as young Alicent. It's kind of weird to me to call them young and old when the actresses are all so similar in age, I have to say. But we then see her come up to Viserys and give him a little kiss on the cheek. And so perhaps this is now, like, they're together already at the... I don't know. What are you... thoughts on... Alicent and Viserys together at the wedding feast, I guess.
I'm not sure, yeah, because, yeah, their relationship develops slowly.
I don't think they're not together yet, but there's enough that she came up to kiss him on the cheek.
Yeah, so it must have... They're definitely close at that point. You know, it's not clear how far their relationship has progressed, but yeah.
And so that... The timing of this remains a mystery.
Looks like Sean has a question.
Oh, go ahead, Sean.
It's not super unusual, but it looks to me like she's 20 and he's 50.
Yes, absolutely.
His wife passed. So he's a bachelor king.
He was dating a girl basically like the same age as his daughter, essentially, is what they've made it to be. So that's them together. And then we get a shot of a dragon egg on a brazier. That kind of intercuts between Alicent and her father and Alicent and Viserys and showing like this ambition that she has. But I do wonder, like, in what context, is this the same dragon egg that Daemon had, for example, in trying to be hatched, or a different egg, you know?
Yeah, this is interesting. And it's another one where this egg appears to just be black. It could be the same one that Daemon was holding, you know, years later or near at the same time. It's not clear. It could be dark green, but yeah, again, maybe it's just not colorized on purpose or not yet.
But then we get this the other line that we get in the trailer, the other dialogue from Otto talking to his daughter Alicent, but in this case, this is older Alicent played by Olivia Cooke. And so what is this line, Aziz?
We play an ugly game. You have the determination to win it. He said the word. He said the word. He called it game. Game. He said Game of Thrones. Yep. Had to include that in the trailer. Iconic.
And of course, when he says it to her is unclear. Like, I mean, win it as in like they're actually in the heat of battle? Or win it as in, you know, like she's just now becoming queen and he's like gassing her up, you know, I don't know.
So do you know who that character is, Sean? The father there?
Yeah.
Otto?
Yeah.
Otto Hightower, yeah. Alicent Hightower's father.
Yes. Correct.
I know those names. I know the Hightowers. I think of them as being from the Reach.
Yes. Old Town.
Old Town.
They rule Old Town. They're very powerful. But he's not the lord of Old Town.
At this time, it was... Still, the Tyrells were in charge of the Reach.
Yes, the Tyrells were in charge of the Reach. Okay.
But their hold over the Reach is somewhat weak because Aegon appointed them hold over the Reach, and so they didn't win it or anything. So they're the other very proud Reach lords are like,
it's reluctantly accepted.
Olenna brings that up. Remember, Olenna brings that up in Game of Thrones. They're still upset about it, even in Olenna's time. So yeah, so a good call. But so he's the Hand of the King. Yeah, that's important.
Okay, that's
chest.
Yeah. You got the
That's what's on screen right now is him with his pin. So yeah, he's the Hand of the King at this point, and for a great deal of not all of it, but
and the merchandisers say, "Yay, we have another Hand of the King pin to work with." All right.
You know, they I don't know how intentional it is, but I think he looks very similar to Tywin.
Interesting.
To Charles Dance, yeah, you know, the Tywin from the show anyway. I wonder if they meant to make a parallel there.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So then next up, we have a scene we've talked about already, which are the Velaryons arriving in power. And I think this is a good contrast to Otto and Alicent together there, right? To show, like, I mean, you're like our two factions, our greens and our blacks. And you see, compared to the teaser trailer, but this is another important scene. Next is Daemon. This is at the wedding feast. Daemon has short hair. Show difference in time. But yeah, the short hair Daemon. And next to him, though, we did a little research. This guy, this is Lionel Strong, Master of Laws. The Strongs are of Harrenhal. And we know that this is Lionel Strong because the actor has been cast. The actor is this guy, Gavin Spokes. As you can see him on screen, that's a match. That's our Lionel Strong.
So the Strongs are extinct by the time of Game of Thrones, Sean. Yeah. So that's why you haven't heard of them necessarily.
Okay.
And we see him up at the dais as well in that feast shot that I had on screen a minute ago that I can go back to. But we see him up at the dais there as well, which makes sense because he was the Master of Laws.
Yeah, so he's in the small council. Yeah. Important guy. Yes. And of course, Lord of Harrenhal is a powerful position as well. Remember, by the time of Game of Thrones, it was abandoned.
Right there.
But that, you know, it wasn't always that way, right?
So yeah, the Strongs are going to be very relevant. We won't go too much into all of the Strongs because we don't see the Strongs, but there have been multiple Strongs cast for the show. So they'll be pretty major house. And so here, the next shot is why we, you know, if we didn't already do our detective work and place Daemon and Lionel on the dais at the wedding, it would be pretty clear because this next shot is of Rhaenyra at her wedding to Laenor Velaryon, who we see from the back here. And I just want to, like, shout out to this hairdo with the gems in the braids. Like, it's maybe my favorite of all the hairstyles I've seen in all of Game of Thrones, to be honest. I really, really like the hair gems. A big fan of that for me. I can't wait to see people cosplay with the hair like that. And she's in an interesting necklace here that we can't really see much detail on, but still more ornate jewelry. Rhaenyra.
Who is that she's dancing with?
That is her new husband, Laenor Velaryon.
Laenor, okay.
Yes, Corlys is a son who we saw in that other shot of all the Velaryons arriving. Yeah. We see that.
I thought I recognized the pattern on his front. Too, but
exactly,
I didn't know his
name.
With
this, like, and he's got like a fancy necklace on and all that. I mean, he's the
So that would mean the queen who never was, Rhaenys, the one whose hairstyle Shay didn't like, that's now, as of that scene, Rhaenyra's stepmother.
Yes.
As well as through other relationships. Yeah. They're already like cousin or I forget. They're already cousins.
I'm sure it's simple and requires no explanation.
Yeah, and they're already cousins of the Velaryons because it's not the first time that family is married to each other.
And also notable here that the scene that we're analyzing is Rhaenyra and Daemon making eyes at each other, and that's her uncle, know. So. But like very clearly they are eyeing each other at her wedding.
And you know incest is on the table already for the Targaryens, so that's not... it's still creepy, but it's creepy in a way that's established as a thing that happens, so it's not a barrier to it happening.
And next up here, we do have...
Or threatening to happen, as it were.
This is another shot of the feast. Very, very dark, even on lightning. Hard to make out much detail, but people cheering at the wedding feast. It's, you know, up here at the dais. Pretty straightforward shot there, all things considered. Oh, here, this is the other. This is from the teaser that I grabbed that shows more of the Velaryons arriving, and I wanted to highlight this. This is where we can see Lionel Strong up here at the table, Viserys Targaryen, young Rhaenyra, and Velaryon sigil banners up at the top. Targaryen, again, just to show that this is happening, just, you know, in front of the Iron Throne, too. Like, someone just falls back. They're dead.
Yeah, like, don't trip.
Don't trip.
Hear that.
Yeah.
Keep your footing very safe. They should have a handrail.
Yeah. And I'm still, I mentioned this in our teaser stream. I'm still wondering who this woman on the far left is with her sigil there. I don't know. Hmm. Anyways, but it is, we can see Rhaenys and of the Bumpet hair arriving from the back. But
looks kind of Tyrellish.
I think it looks. I thought it looked kind of like a Tyrell too, or like a Stark wolf. So I thought it looked like a Tyrell or.
But isn't it like green and yellow? That's, I was looking at the colors.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking the right. Yeah.
Anyways. But yeah. So that, so this, the wedding feast happens at King's Landing, as we can see. Next up, though, we have a funeral scene. We won't talk about the details of the funeral, except that you can see Velaryon seahorse banners there, and if we
and no other banners are visible.
I won't talk about whose death it is, but there are no other banners visible, but there are Velaryon ones. And here we see, when I zoom real in, you can see Viserys because he has the crown around his head. You can see Alicent, Otto, what maybe is Rhaenyra right there. Looks like maybe a Corlys. And again, this is like, I mean, they're so pixelated and we're zoomed in so deep here, but we can kind of get an idea of who's here at the, in the scene. So you all can appreciate that. And there's some mystery people here.
There's a lot of people. It's a really beautiful scene. Like, what a place for
a funeral.
It looks like
on the water.
On the left side, are those the, those bluish banners?
Yes, those are the Velaryon seahorse. Exactly. Yeah.
It looks like, if you look to the distance to the right from there,
there's another.
It looks like a banner kind of in the sunlight reflecting off the ski. I mean, I can't make it out at all, but it looks like there is at least one of the banner in
there. Could be Targaryen because the king is present, but it could be more Velaryon or something else.
Well,
yeah.
You know. And we see a coffin and a tomb there as well. And we saw that behind the scenes in filming shots of them filming this as well.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that's what that was. That I thought it was like a stone dragon head.
I did too. When I
see
first
now
saw
what it.
It
is,
when I first saw it, I thought the same thing. That's so funny. And then I was like, no, this is someone's coffin. I'm going to the water along here. So anyway, we'll talk about it a little bit more later. As we can see, this is a shot of it as well, where you can see the sigil on the coffin as well. Let's move on. We get a shot here of Rhaenyra, presumably in this scene. It's my impression based on it being like along the water and all that. And the fact that it looks like, to me, my impression is this is a scene with Rhaenyra and Alicent being at a funeral together and things are awkward between them, but like they're bringing their drama to the funeral.
Yeah, they're kind of watching.
With
you,
Kristen
like,
in the background. but anyway, that's my impression of this scene, is that like this is not the time for your drama.
Yeah, you're at a funeral.
Kristen Cole.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's a Kingsguard member?
He is a Kingsguard.
You saw him in the first trailer. Remember that scene where a Targaryen in full armor is fighting someone in white armor?
Mm-hmm.
Vaguely.
Okay, there's like a site clash.
I was not analyzing it too closely because I didn't want to.
Right, it's like a tournament, so it's not like a fight in earnest. But that was Daemon and Kristen Cole.
Is there a story to how he got to be in the Kingsguard?
He's amazing.
A warrior?
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's just a great warrior. Yeah.
Aziz is a Kristen Cole stan, apparently.
No, not exactly. But that is why he got in the Kingsguard, because he's an incredible fighter, yeah.
I mean, Gregor Clegane's amazing, but I don't think he's a good person.
He's no Gregor, let's put it that way. He might not be a good guy. He might be a very bad guy. He might be a very good guy. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah,
but
he's not.
That's
kind of the
he's
fun
like
here
Gregor.
Of the show as well, is that we don't know how they're going to take on Kristen Cole.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
It's a kind of an all on where you stand and who's telling the story kind of thing.
So and he's handsome. You can see that much. Like they clearly cast a handsome
aside
dude.
aside from personality or I don't know, like a alignment, if you will. is he like characters that were built up as great warriors, among the greatest warriors in the land? Jaime, Loras, Gregor Sandor, even maybe he's like on par with them. Is he?
Yeah. Definitely. Okay. Yeah. He's
Barristan, I guess.
Yeah. He's probably on, he probably should be considered the Barristan level, but we'll see how they decide to run.
And, you know, those different characters, you know, we're going to have moments of prime through their careers or whatever.
He's from the Stormlands, like Barristan. He's from a Marcher house. Those houses
but not like
have
a
that
major house.
Martial
not a big
tradition
house.
Of fighting Dornish Raiders, which at this point would still be a thing.
Next up, we have Daemon. It was unclear to us at first, but it seems like this is short-haired Daemon being harassed by the Kingsguard. He's in kind of like a basic tunic. Like, you know, he's not... But clearly this is when he's younger and he's done something wrong.
Pretty interesting. You usually see the Kingsguard manhandling a prince of the blood like that. So that's part of why we at first didn't think it was him until we got a close-up.
Yeah, it would seem that King Viserys is like, take care of him. And well, if the king tells you, then you listen and you manhandle a prince.
Yeah.
Basically. But yeah, it is.
It seems like maybe he's been arrested and being presented for judgment or something.
That is what it looks like, that he's being presented to them. Because when you look in the background and you see like the windows back there, it looks kind of like where like maybe Viserys is seated on the throne right. You know, all out of frame potentially. So we do have more, so that of short haired him, but then we cut to Kristen in his Kingsguard finery beating someone up while women in the background look on horrified. And I don't think this is the same scene.
Yeah,
like,
blood on his armor.
I don't think this would be Kristen beating up Daemon. I don't think he's one of those two Kingsguard.
Yeah,
timing.
I don't think that's it. Yeah.
But shows that he's doing something awful here.
It's kind of a mirror to the Goldcloak just beating people apparent for no apparent reason earlier in the trailer. So you have those two that kind of interspersed. So you have Kristen Cole beating on someone and the Goldcloak's beating on someone. And these are not the same faction necessarily.
But we don't have context.
Not
right? Maybe there was an assassin that snuck in and
absolutely.
He caught him 100%. And he's killing him, you know.
100%.
Anyone would look horrified in the background at violence, whether it was, you know, necessary or not, you know.
He's beating them with his fist, so that would be like gruesome, even
and
if it's
blood,
deserved.
He's got blood splattered a little bit on his his armor as well. Yeah.
And sometimes, even if violence is justified, like it might be defense or justifiable punishment for a murder or something, it could still be more or less gruesomely carried out. And, you know, like even if someone deserved to die, if after they're already dead, someone keeps bashing their brains in and blood is splattering, it still can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if it was justified to kill that person, it still might be shocking to see or a revealing of the character doing it, how angry they were, out of control they are, or whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well said. Well point.
Moving on. I guess this is where there was a spoiler for you, Sean, but I think this no avoiding you finding out that this does happen, which is that Daemon.
We're looking at this hand.
Bloody hand. And then the next shot, which is Daemon and Rhaenyra, and Rhaenyra has kind of like a headpiece and.
The way she's looking at him.
And they're getting married there. Like, I don't think. Like, there are some broad strokes that I think you just know that Rhaenyra and Daemon get together. You don't know the context of how that happens or anything like that, but they get married.
Looks like some blood rite kind of like blood
so
bond kind of thing.
Is our guess, but I think it makes sense. Yeah.
That is the aged up version of the other girl,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, this is her, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Older Rhaenyra. The so there's
aged up version of the one that looked like Dany. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so, that's them two together. It kind of looks like Daemon has maybe some blood on his forehead almost. Like, it looks like he has something on his forehead to me personally.
We were told, if you all remember from last week, when we talked about the David Peterson stuff, there's going to be a lot more like Valyrian culture.
Yeah, maybe
stuff
they could have a Valyrian wedding vows to one another. Like, it would be like
could
a contrast to like,
sure.
It would be a great contrast to, Rhaenyra and Laenor's wedding. You know, this Rhaenyra and Daemon's like very like, hardcore orthodox.
A whole new red wedding.
Yeah.
blood wedding. Yeah,
but yeah, and
cool.
I want to compare this too. This is a shot that HBO Max shared from the trailer, a still. Look at the difference. It's so much lighter and crisper and brighter versus this shot from the trailer. It pains me, y'all. It really physically pains me to see, like, we could have had this. This bright shot.
I didn't think
with all this detail. Anyways, but in that shot, it's more clear that, yes, there is blood on Daemon's forehead. Not on her forehead, so I wonder how the rites go. But, we got those two. their wedding. Then we come back to the shot of Otto Hightower and Mystery Kingsguard, maybe Harold Westerling, played by Graham McTavish, maybe just another Kingsguard, unclear. But I want to zoom in here. If we look at Otto Hightower's chest, it looks like he's got the Hightower sigil on his chest. I always like, you know, if you know from our coverage of Game of Thrones, I go crazy for when they actually put the sigils on the character.
I'd also like to point out, Sean, because you haven't been had this explained to you, this is maybe an opportunity to kind of get a sense of it. Notice that Otto Hightower is in green, Daemon is in black.
Okay.
and the other lady there is in white, which I don't think it's relevant that she's in white necessarily, other than it's part of her character. But it is interesting to me that those are basically the colors of Dany's three dragons.
Interesting. You know, is black and white. The Hightower sigil green? Is that associated with them, or is that
white? I don't know.
Green,
it's like a tall tower. I don't know. It's a tower. So.
It's more associated with the reach than anything. But
okay,
there's another reason for the green. You'll see. Like, yeah, and you see Alicent wearing her green dress.
Yeah,
like,
there was a big event where they each wore different colored dresses, and it got very politicized.
Yeah.
To say it just succinctly for you.
Yeah.
But it's all based on their clothes.
So their followers started following their lead. to kind of indicate what side they were taking.
So yes, this scene with Otto and Daemon is picking up from where the beginning of the trailer picked up. And so we cut to Daemon pulling Dark Sister out from his waist. He has another weapon as well. And then we also see him still cradling the egg. And he's got his gold cloaks behind him. But so clearly that's how we know that this is an antagonistic scene between the two of them, that there's a conflict happening here between them. And there's about to be a conflict in the next scene we talk about, too, between the greens and the blacks, unless you have anything more to say about this.
People drawing down on each other is what we see here. We got Daemon drawing down on Otto, and now...
now we have this scene we saw before. We saw this in the teaser. I'm going to pull up the shot from the teaser of Alicent with this is the cat's paw dagger from Game of Thrones, the one that, you know, that iconic dagger. It was a Targaryen dagger before it got used for what, you know. Anyways, just a little bit of them wanting to have a...
little continuity.
Continuity, merchandising, whatever.
Easter egg on,
you know. but in the shot from the teaser, we see Alicent, and in the background, you can see this is probably Tywin Lannister. Jefferson Hall plays twin Lannisters, Tywin
Lannister
and
twins.
Jason. So it could be Tywin or it could be Jason. Anyways, it's probably Tywin, though. So then we have him. We have Harold Westerling, played by Graham McTavish. We have Kristen Cole, by Fabian Frankel. Some men we don't know. So we'd been theorizing about what the context was here, but now we have this context because as you see in this shot, this is Alicent attacking. She's going after Rhaenyra. Whether her goal is Rhaenyra or whether Rhaenyra is getting in the way is unclear, but clearly Rhaenyra is also crying because she's got a tear in her eye in this shot.
Yeah, so very interesting point there.
This will be notable. I wanted to highlight the people in the background of this scene.
Well, real quick before you do that, Sean, remember we showed before that they were, you know, they were friends, and then you kind of see the deterioration. You see moments of them maybe being okay with each other, and then now you have this, like, whoa, a tear and a like she's angry, like slowing down. When you really look at it, she is just like great acting. She looks so enraged and angry. It's like, whoa, that's going to be an amazing scene. But the reason why it all happens, of course,
we won't say here, because that will be a big scene. But there is maybe some characters behind that we can see. Ignoring again, you can notice some Targaryen haired people back there. But I just wanted to highlight right here this woman on the far right that I have my cursor over right here, and this man right here. These are like some of these silver-haired Velaryons, and I say that because, and I'll pull up the shot. This is our one shot from filming. As you can see, it's her. We from filming behind the scenes, and it's him. Anyway, so we saw them.
What were we just saying about people with dark skin and silver hair? They are pretty distinct, right?
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. Like as a visual element,
you can
like,
see the hair right there. So clearly, there's a bunch of Velaryons here at this debacle. Like they're just represented. Super curious to know these character names and all that.
I'm reminded of something else I want to clarify.
Absolutely.
These Valyrians
versus
House
Valyrian.
Yeah.
Is different than Valyrian,
yes,
which was a land where the steel came from.
Yes.
That Targaryen, not Targaryens.
Yeah, the Targaryens came from there. Yeah.
Well, Targaryens were Valyrians.
Yes. So yes. are the Valyrians.
Right?
The Valyrians were also Valyrians.
And Valyrians. Yeah. Yes, yes. Okay.
Yeah. It is confusing. George,
but
why would you
Doom
do that, George? Yeah.
Sent them to Westeros and
they escaped, right? They got away before the Doom, 12 years before, and everybody else did not. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so anyways, we can see the Kingsguard trying to get involved in Alicent freaking out here, and we'll move on and talk about that a little bit later. And the next scenes are our closing scenes. We have Daemon with the torch looking at our mystery dragon, maybe just a dragon, maybe Caraxes, maybe Cyrax. We talked about that a bit already. We talked about this stuff. Yes, we have gotten through all of the photos. And now we can just go through and talk about what we want to. Now that we've...
Yeah, so there's a... Per Watchers on the Wall, there's a... At 44 seconds in, there's a rendition of Ramin Djawadi's dragon theme sung by a choir, which is awesome. And that's another thing that need to pay more attention to this time around, the music. There's a lot of clues and the way they do motifs, which is a motif. The best way to understand a motif is like a music that applies to a certain character or a certain recurring thing. But usually it's like Danny has a music that it's like, oh, this is Danny's music. Or like the Imperial March when they play in Star Wars. That's when they have like the Star Destroyers. They don't play the Imperial March when it's like the Rebel base, you know, unless it's under attack by Imperials. But but yeah, that's it's a piece of music that applies to a certain, you know, noun, proper noun or situation. So looking forward to parsing through that during the show.
Basically, if y'all had anything to say in the chat, I obviously was a little distracted today, so I had trouble keeping up with it. So if you're anything important, feel free to tag us in it, like to at Westeros History so I see it, and maybe we'll have a chance to bring it up. But I hope y'all understand that I was distracted from the chat today.
Running all that production business.
But we got a couple cool super chats during this time.
Oh, yeah. Kartik Prabhu says, props for doing a double stream. I did our usual game stream. We're running YeeT right now with the Dynasty. And when we get to the show, when House of Dragons on, we'll switch to doing an actual Dance of the Dragons, our own playthrough, and see how it goes. That'll be fun. He also wants me to say Matt Damon again. So Matt Damon. Yeah. Matt
and you read Damon. Mora's super chat at the beginning and I just missed it, or did you
know? I read it, yeah.
Okay, cool. Great. I feel like this is our good chance just to say, Sean, get out of here unless there's something else you want to talk about.
Yeah, final thoughts from Sean, unless you want to time to move on to not be spoiled.
Yeah, nothing particular. I just want to point out that we spent about an hour and a half talking about a minute and a half clip. So it, on par for the course.
A picture's worth 1,000 words, man. Those short of how many words our allotment should be here.
Well, we're not done. I'm about to go and you're going
to
continue.
Okay, yeah, we'll try to work in a few more. Well, yeah, so this is what you all have to look forward to this season for a lot of our coverage. Anyway, we'll do some other things as well. But
yeah, we'll have lots of images again in this for our coverage.
And I'm sure you're going to point this out also, but our usual Sunday stream is going to be tomorrow night, Saturday night, actually, just because of our guest in China.
That's correct.
Right?
Yeah, if you're watching this live at the time, it's going to be Saturday at 10 p.m. Otherwise, if you're catching it later, it doesn't matter to you. But yeah, our guest is in China, so we had to do an unusual time to account for the fact that it's literally 12 hours different. Okay, Sean. So
we'll sign off now.
Yeah, we'll look
forward
to
see you tomorrow.
Next time.
Yeah,
and
we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Sean.
Future hype on this show. Getting super excited. Can't wait for more. But we have plenty to do in the meantime. Yeah. See you next time, buddy.
All right. Okay.
We'll all right. So, yeah, some spoiler talk. There shall we have a little
bit of that? The backdrop's all messed up because it was framed for being with Sean. So you get a little bit more of the backdrop than
extra.
Normal.
Extra. You can see some
that's
Dorne
fine.
In there. Yeah,
yeah, you all can. Right. Cool. But, yeah, straight up for the spoilers, let's talk about, should we talk about Laena?
Yeah, I'll talk about that for sure.
That's obviously Lena's funeral.
Hope, yeah. So, folks, yeah, obviously, if you don't want to be spoiled, you should have been left by now. But you knew that, I hope. I hope the context made that clear. But just in case.
The chat has been going off with spoilers. If people cared about spoilers, they probably left.
Yeah, this group. Okay, I should remind myself.
It was for Sean's sake that we weren't saying it out loud because I didn't want him to just know that Lena died.
It's funny that everyone's basically in on it, even all the chat.
Yeah.
Like, only Sean. Is like, I once polled on Twitter, like, are you show only or book only people or book and show people? And it was like 98% book show. We do have a very small percent of show only people, but still we appreciate that for the presentation with Sean because it enables us to catch things we wouldn't have caught. Quite often that works out for us.
Yeah.
So Lena. Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah. So as you can see, we had seen behind the scenes filming. We knew that she was her coffin was going to be there. As you can see, I zoomed in here. This is Lena's tomb with the Velaryon seahorse on it.
Really fancy and cool. Again, another just sign of the opulence of the time and the importance of her character and everything.
Yeah. And you can see it going into the water as well.
Really like
in
that
this
idea.
Shot and you can see the seahorse there, but the water is so crystal clear and beautiful there. Like Driftmark is beautiful.
Is the idea that the tomb stays sealed forever, that her body doesn't even become waterlogged? It just sinks down there and just never gonna.
I gotta say, they're dropping it into some like what looks like really shallow water.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't look very
like
deep.
Right off the coast. Like, you think they go out on a boat, maybe.
Yeah, maybe there's just like a bunch of. Maybe it'll be another shot where you can see like a bunch of them. There's like 25 or 30 other sarcophagi like right near there. Like they don't drop it very cautiously, but hey.
Yeah, so basically if we're seeing this is, you know, Lena is Damon's wife, as you all know in the chat, but we'll just say it out loud so everyone is clear on that. So basically we're seeing Rhaenyra is at Damon's wife's funeral and she's about to get together with Damon or already maybe has some. It's unclear how separate they kept things.
Yeah. Because Alicent has a really dude kind of look, or at least you could interpret it that way.
Yeah, that's my...
She has a legitimately perplexed look, which is weird to have a perplexed look at a funeral like that. Like, that's not a somber expression. But it's also a reactive expression. She's reacting to something she saw, I think, so.
Yeah, so yeah, that is my thing. That is, it's Alicent judging her. And I'm Rhaenyra's like, hey, I mean, you slept with my dad, so...
And maybe he was comforting her, and it was like...
Yeah.
Like touchy, and they were like, dude, this is a funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your wife, man. Like, that's your wife. Like,
yeah. And again, so yeah, we can see.
Maybe she's comforting him.
Yeah, we can see them, like, clearly them there, which honestly, I was like mind blown that we can, like, see so clearly. But yeah, with Viserys' crown around his head, and Harold Westerling, Corlys right there. Someone short right there, too. And I think, I mean, we see some other short-haired Targaryens. I'm curious about what kids we'll be seeing.
Yeah, we wonder. Because
we'll be seeing, like, I think, this is what I think right here. I think these are Lena's daughters that we see right here. Because you see the curls.
Yeah,
they look like,
I believe that.
Like they look like, you know, like the kinky curls silver next to Corlys. Anyway, so that's my thought, is that this is our first look at Baela and Rhaena Targaryen.
That would be awesome.
Right there. And so that's pretty cool. I'm like, I just want to, like, just enhance this shot.
Zoom and enhance, but we can't.
So bad. But we already saw a lot of detail right there. Just a very cool shot right there. And so, yeah, that. People in the chat are like, that look is disgust. So one other spoilery thing is, you want to talk to us about Damon and the Dragon Agassiz? Lead us off on that.
Okay, yeah. All right, so... That seems to refer pretty straightforwardly to when Daemon wanted to give an egg to Missaria, and the family was not happy about that. Viserys was not happy about that. It could relate to the arrest thing where he's thrown down. Maybe he,
his hair looks longer here to me.
Okay.
It looks shorter.
Plenty of other provocative things Damon does. We could name a half a dozen things that could be.
I can't remember what is the exact line that he says when he that quote that he says that's offensive about Rhaenyra.
Oh, I forget what it is, but when the kid dies and he. You're not talking about that. You're talking about.
No, I can't. Someone said it in the chat too.
Okay, I was thinking of when he laughs about Viserys' son dying, his lay stillborn, which I don't know if that would cause him to get arrested, but it could. It could. Like, it makes him mad enough if the king orders that. It could also be,
I was thinking, maybe him Yeah, Damon said something wrong. Although it is an extreme reaction for Damon just saying something, you know, there.
Yeah, although that was, the books do say that Viserys got really mad over that one.
Yeah,
like, because Viserys is normally pretty laid back, but that was, you know, a lot of people are like that. You know, you're laid back most of the time.
Air for a day thing, yeah.
Yeah.
That is what I was thinking of.
So yeah, maybe he just had, or it was to build up, and he just had enough of of Damon's.
But so yeah, I don't think that looked like him after this dragon egg thing. Just looking at the hair, unless Damon cut his hair after the dragon. Like,
okay.
That I mean, that's me assuming that it goes from short to middle length to long length, because we see three lengths of Damon's hair.
So putting it all together, it would make sense that we see him with the torch, going down there, stealing an egg, maybe from Syrax, because Syrax is explicitly a she-dragon. We know that the dragons in gender are pretty flexible, but Syrax is called a she-dragon multiple times. Definitely laid eggs. So they could just be like, well, we know Syrax laid eggs, so let's just use her for this.
Yeah.
And make it like, oh, he's got to take it, and he's got to, like, show his courage or something. It definitely is a compelling possibility for a scene. And then he takes his egg and gives it to Mizaria.
Mm-hmm.
And...
and she ends up having a miscarriage.
Prophet, Yeah, she does. Yeah, on the way back, like, she's exiled. They're both exiled over this.
Yeah.
And
so we'll presumably see them exiled and see her lose her baby. I would guess that'll be a plot point.
And that'll make her part of what drives her to be more vicious later, yeah.
Yeah, she would particularly hate Otto and hate the Greens in general for that.
Yeah, a Targaryen, a princeling blood child of hers, that would have been...
Yeah.
Who knows what she wanted from that. Like, if she's ambitious, to her, that would have been her ticket, you know, as well as a child. So it would be the double whammy of losing your kid and losing your ambition, your opportunity. Yeah, it's kind of a cynical thing, but hey, this is Damon's girlfriend we're talking about. You know, she's probably not a nice person. We know she's not a nice person. Her name's Lady Misery. Anyway, but we don't know. Other than that, we don't know what kind of person she is.
The line I was thinking of was the one when Damon's like, if nobody else will want her, it might as well be me. You know, when he brings that up after he gets caught, you know.
That's pretty rude.
Yeah, Cyrus was pissed. So this is the medium age Damon that we see with the dragon egg basically, is it's medium length hair, not short hair. Because again, I don't know, maybe he gets a haircut, because I guess now that I think about it, he has short hair in the scene at the wedding feast. You know,
Yeah, right,
he has real short hair. I guess he might. I guess I shouldn't just be like, he goes from short hair to medium hair to long hair. He could go from medium to short to long. Like, you know, I'm not. That's unclear. I shouldn't assume that it goes. You know, he just
further analysis may be required.
But yeah, definitely watch his hair. We're on hair watch.
What's next?
Those were our two main spoilery scenes that we want. The two crux of the scenes were those two deaths, were Lena's death, and then you know, the fact that Mizaria loses the baby and the dragon egg and all that. I mean, other than that, I think everything is pretty well covered.
Okay. I still can't get over Rickon to Rickard. It doesn't matter at all. I just really wonder why they did it, because it's such a small thing.
Yeah, and like, and to note, I don't know if you said it out loud, but in the subtitles for the trailer, they wrote Rickard.
Yeah,
and I heard
like
Rickard. Other people heard Rickon. I guess you hear what you want to hear.
Yeah,
but
Maybe I'm just wrong, but I kind of doubt it, because in the subtitles,
The subtitles say Rickard. So just for the record, that's why we feel strongly.
Maybe okay,
I heard Rickard.
I have a theory that they did it to make it less confusing, because Cregan's going to have a son named Rickon. So they were just like, well, let's not have Cregan's son and dad both be Rickon. Let's have one of them be Rickard.
Yeah, Rickard.
But we can just call him Rick.
We're just going to say Rick.
Rick.
Ricky.
Rick the Stick.
Ricky Stark.
Ricky Stark.
pull up this, also the poster, I just want to highlight that in the character poster for Damon, he's got real, real long hair for that one. And just in general, and also that the character posters that we got, those are the cast that is credited as starring, like when you know, that is the main cast. That those are the ones we got posters for. But we have so many other people. Like, we have the cast for Baela Targaryen and Rhaena. Like, we know who they are. We have pictures of them and all that. They just haven't released any promotional pictures of them, even though we know. We haven't even seen Aegon II yet. Tom Glenn Carney, we haven't seen him.
A lot of characters we haven't seen yet. They've really kept a lot of, like,
this whole second generation that they've kept from us. Like, we know who plays Aemond and all that. So. Yeah. But we won't have to. We won't go too into that because we'll have another trailer eventually.
Yes, we shall. There'll be escalating amounts of dragons. But we're still pretty early on. Yeah, so we're still more than 3 months away at this point, folks. The hype is building. We're getting it's like a smoldering fire. The coals have lit. The dragon fire started it, and it's starting to spread. But we're not at a full burn yet. But we're definitely at a place where you can see how big that fire is going to get.
I guess I have a question for you, Aziz.
Yes.
What had you most excited from the trailer? Was there a shot? Was there a character? Was there a something that had you like, yes?
Well, I really liked that when the music kicked in, that point we talked out really got me. But if it's like something I wasn't expecting, the painted table looked amazing. Well, the candles around it, we hadn't seen it like that before. We've seen the painted table before, but with the candles, it's kind of implied they were like working late, you know?
Yeah.
And it just looks so cool.
Burning the midnight a little, yeah.
Maybe that, but also I love the funeral, the water funeral, the shoreline, like, yeah, I don't know that, so I guess there wasn't one.
I guess, yeah, for me, well, that painted table scene with Rhaenys in the background in her armor had me like, yes!
Yeah, so that was yours, I was going to ask you, that was yours then?
That might not be mine, I just thought of that right
now. Well, what
now.
Would yours
be? Mine probably was seeing Daemon and Missaria with the dragon egg there
Pretty
in front
cool.
of Dragonstone, just because, like, I really, really like the actress that plays Missaria, Senoia Mizuno. She was in Devs. She was in Annihilation, Crazy Rich Asians, Ex Machina. I don't know. She's been in a lot of sci-fi. And so I know that she's a very good actress and a very good dancer. And so I'm, like, particularly excited to see her. So, like, I was like, yes, Missaria. We saw the shot of the Velaryons before, but every time I see those, like, fancy Velaryons with Laena, you know, and her finery, that gown, I'm, like, really a big fan of Laena.
They're rich as hell.
In general. But, yeah, I guess the other highlight probably was the funeral scene there, because you see everyone arrayed together.
Yeah.
So that was kind of exciting, to see.
I tried to look at Viserys' crown to see which crown it was. It looks like they may have tweaked it a little. It's not the crown that he necessarily would have worn from the book canon. No, it looks more like Aenys' crown or
trying to see
the big crown rather than, and he didn't wear Aenys' crown.
Where is a good shot of him in the crown?
It's definitely not Aegon's crown, which is the Valyrian Steel Circle at Aegon the Conqueror's, unless they just aren't going to use that one either. But I don't remember anyone wearing it. No, actually, that one does get worn. I think Aemond puts that one on when he becomes Lord Protector. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, pretty positive. Because he also... I'm pretty sure that's right. Maybe I'm remembering wrong.
But interesting.
Pretty sure. Anyway.
Interesting.
Any other comments?
So, yeah, I zoomed in on the crown, though, for people.
Yeah, so maybe we'll think about that a little more. Folks, feel free to comment on that or anything else you think is worth commenting on. We're, like I said, just getting started. The burn is just beginning, so we are not in any kind of rush here.
Yeah.
But... definitely, we welcome your thoughts, your ideas, your questions, and your community. So happy to be doing this all over again.
I see in the chat, I'll highlight some comments. People think dragon hatching is what I want to see. I do think we'll see that. I think there's a few, you know, a couple opportunities for us to see a hatching.
Yeah.
And we see them clearly trying to hatch a dragon.
Amazing moment I had when I realized that we were not unlikely to see the Great Fire at Harrenhal. I hadn't thought about that as part of the Year of the Red Spring when Laena dies, Laenor dies, and the Strongs are killed with that big fire. So we'll probably see that. And that's going to be an incredible spectacle. It'll remind people of what it looked like when Beleriand torched it, but not quite as intense probably, but something like that. That's going to be great. Wow.
I guess that we got that. I think we're good, aren't we?
Cool, folks. Well, we'll see you next time. We'll see you maybe Saturday for Yeet if you're coming to that.
This question multiple times in chat, and I kept meaning to talk about it. Will Alice Rivers make an appearance? Yes, I think she will. I don't think they'll skip her.
I don't think they'll skip her, but I'm not sure we'll see her in season one.
No, yeah, I don't think season one. Sorry, yeah. I 100% I think there's no chance we see her in season one.
Mm-hmm.
I think we will see her. There's just a whole crop of people, like nettles, and we won't see, you know, we won't see all these most of the dragon seeds until season two. Anyways.
Okay. Well, if you're looking for additional listening, the new old Tower of Joy, we mentioned that's the Rogar Baratheon. It's got a lot of a prequel to this era. It's got a lot of the information there if you're curious about that. And we've also got the Red Kraken episode. That's for patrons and donors only. It's also about this era. It really, it sets up what the Ironborn were doing at this time and how they're going to play a big role and what, you know, their, how their culture changed under the rule of the Iron Throne and how they were raring to get back to the, you know, the old way, how they always do. So until next time, folks, we can't wait for more. And Valar, re-read us.